Bandeham.
The following is a continuation of the lecture given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on August 11th, 2001 in New Brajadham, Hungary.
Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha.
Thank you for coming back. After the wonderful Sankirtan performance this morning, there's nothing left to be said. The last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashana, that by the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name, bowing down to Lord Krishna, all one's sins are removed and one attains the ultimate perfection. Srila Prabhupada explained that where Bhagavad Gita ends, Sarva Dharman Purityajya, Mamekam Sharanam Braja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papi Bhyo Moksha Ishami Masaja, Man Manabhava Mad Bhakto Madhyajim Namaskar. To surrender to Krishna, to always remember Krishna. That's the conclusion of Gita. Srimad Bhagavatam begins from that point. And Srimad Bhagavatam ends with this verse, Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papra Panashana. All perfections can be achieved by the congregational chanting of the holy names. Chaitanya Charitamrita begins from this point. In fact, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is declared to be the very personification of Srimad Bhagavatam. One time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking from the western part of India back to Jagannath Puri. He came to a village called Varaha Nagar. There on the bank of a river, there was a great devotee reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so ecstatic. The verse he was reading, he kept telling him, go on reciting, go on reciting. As he was listening to Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Chaitanya was dancing in ecstasy. Tears were pouring like rivers from his lotus eyes. His hairs were standing on end. His limbs were trembling. As he was dancing and dancing, he repeatedly told this devotee, go on reciting, go on reciting. As he was chanting the slokas of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in ecstasy to the sound of Srimad Bhagavatam for 9 continuous hours. Go on reciting, go on reciting. Finally, Nityananda Prabhu said, stop reciting. Because he knew that this kirtan would never end. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with this devotee, he gave him the name Bhagavat Acharya. Because due to his simple, humble service, he perfectly understood the Srimad Bhagavatam after Mahaprabhu gave him this mercy. So one who actually understands Srimad Bhagavatam class will dance very jubilantly and chant the holy names. And here at New Braj Dham, you understand the Bhagavatam so well that you dance through the whole class. Kirtan is the beginning, middle, and end of your class. Very happy to see this. I am very happy and very grateful. If we develop a taste for chanting the holy names, then all unwanted desires of the heart are removed. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was instructing his disciples always about the importance of Nam Sankirtan. He explained that when one chants the holy name offenselessly, the name reveals everything. First, the name, which is none different than Radha and Krishna themselves, reveals the eternal form of Krishna within the heart. When we go on chanting, gradually the holy name reveals the transcendental, eternal qualities and attributes of Krishna. The name then reveals the eternal abode of the Lord, the divine associates of the Lord. The name reveals within the heart the eternal pastimes of the Lord. And ultimately, in the perfect state of chanting, the name reveals our eternal identity in relationship to the eternal pastimes of the Lord. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told his followers that we should have complete faith that simply chanting in a proper state of mind, everything will be revealed. It is the safest and most powerful of all means of approaching Krishna. The devotees of Kulinagram asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of the 9 processes of devotional service, which is most important? He emphatically declared the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. And how to chant, Lord Chaitanya taught in his Shikshastakam. One particular verse of Shikshastakam, Srila Kaviraj Goswami declares, should be strung on the necklace of the holy name and worn always by devotees. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishvana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. If we want to chant the names constantly, we must become more humble than the straw in the street, tolerant like the tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, this verse is the Gaudiya Math's Siddha Pranali Mantra. By chanting the name in this spirit, all the highest perfections of realizations will be undoubtedly revealed. If we have faith in this truth, that faith will carry us across all the obstacles that cross our path in life. Shraddha, or faith, is the very basis, the foundation of our spiritual development. It takes many births to develop proper faith in the path of perfection. Like a tree that takes so many years to grow, faith can also be cut down within seconds. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya taught us that we must associate with those who will increase our faith. Those devotees who are attached to hearing and chanting and rendering devotional service. Who increase our faith in the spiritual master, in the process of bhakti, and in the holy name of Krishna. And we must avoid the association of materialistic people or those who threaten our faith. Association of devotees is so very important. It is one of the 5 most important principles of devotional service, according to Sri Rupa Goswami. But what is association of devotees? It's not simply being with someone who wears sari or dhoti or tilak. It means sharing Krishna consciousness with people who are striving for devotional service. As we were explaining, for most people, to attain prema bhakti is a lifetime process. Therefore, it is very important that we create a social environment by which devotees will be enthused and inspired to carry on hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord throughout their lives. Where there is proper observance of Vaishnava etiquette, naturally, very intimate loving relationships grow in the association of devotees. Lord Chaitanya said to Sanatana Goswami, that observance of Vaishnava etiquette is the ornament that makes a devotee beautiful in the eyes of Krishna. So to create that social environment where there is proper Vaishnava etiquette is very essential for the sustenance of our spiritual lives. Yesterday, we were explaining on the order of His Holiness Srila Sivaram Maharaj how we tried to pursue this in our temple of Radha Gopinath in Bombay. We ended the class yesterday explaining how we had four relatively senior and mature grihasthas who took the role of counselors or shiksha gurus for newer devotees. But then we found that the older devotees really didn't know much more than the new devotees. So there was some personal training and guidance to these four grihastha couples. And we made it voluntarily available for other grihasthas that you can take spiritual guidance and direction from these people. At the beginning there were some suspicions, but still some people came forward. And it was going quite nice. Then I left India and came to America for some months. And when I returned, I asked, how is the counselor system going? They forgot about it. They said, there's not really that much interest. People don't come so much. We really don't know what to say. We tried, but it didn't work. So I requested you try again. This is very important. So it practically, three times, it was non-existent. So we put tremendous emphasis. It must be done. They actually took it very seriously. So it became such a wonderful offering to the Vaishnavas that people were seeing that the families who are taking this are so well educated, so well trained, they're so happy, they're so cared for. Everyone wanted to have a counselor. Gradually, people were coming forward as they were becoming educated and willing to take responsibility. They became assistant counselors, and then they became counselors. Today, between Bombay and Pune, there's, I believe, between 50 and 60 counselors. Each one has approximately 20 to 25 families that they are taking serious responsibility for their spiritual lives. Just in the month of June was Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri. So many of the people who are participating in this counselor system came to the Rath Yatra. And for the parade, we had 2,000 devotees. It was wonderfully ecstatic. We chanted for 8 hours in front of Jagannath's cart the first day. Actually, the deities, they have their own minds. These carts are gigantic. There's, I think, 8 or 10 ropes for each cart. Very, very long ropes. And each chariot has tens and thousands of people fighting to pull the ropes. The chariots are huge. Jagannath's chariot has 16 wheels, Balaram's has 14, and Subhadra's 12. So they pull the chariots down the main road. It's about 3 kilometers from Jagannath Temple to Gundicha Mandir. So Balaram kept going off to the side, and they were pulling the ropes the other direction, but he kept going the other way. Prabhupada said that Balaram is named Balaram because he takes great pleasure in showing his strength. So there were tens of thousands of people pulling his ropes one way, and he went the other way. In Puri, there's no steering and no brakes on the carts. So he went off the road. And finally they stopped, and he was right in front of this big, big pole holding the electrical wires for the city. And Subhadra and Jagannath are behind him. So what do you think they did? You can't make the chariots go backward. So the Dayatapatis called for the municipal electrical department. And these poles are metal poles, deep, deep down in concrete. So there were dozens of people who were trying to break the concrete in drills. They had to dig 5 feet down in concrete to get to where the pole's root was. Then they had to disconnect all the wires from the pole. And they had to support them with something else. And they pulled the pole out and moved aside. And Balaram continued his journey. So anyways, at Jagannath Rath Yatra in Puri, they never pulled the carts after sunset. So when the sunset came, Lord Balaramji's cart had reached Gundicha Mandir, but Subhadra Mai and Lord Jagannath was still long distance away. So they decided to continue the Rath Yatra the next day. And the first day there was 900,000 people, all on the same road at the same time. There was hundreds of kirtan parties, but Srila Prabhupada's was very prominent. In fact, there's a microphone that broadcasts all over Puri on speakers. And the man was seeing some foreigners dancing in front of Jagannath. He said to the whole city of Puri, "Lord Jagannath has brought foreign devotees to teach all of us what real devotion to Lord Jagannath is." Srila Prabhupada would have been very happy with that. So the next day, the Rath Yatra began, and we were practically the only ones there. All the 900,000 people left. We couldn't even touch the ropes the first day. There were so many people striving to touch them. Second day, the Dayatapati said that Jagannath liked your kirtan so much yesterday that we're going to give 2 ropes exclusively for ISKCON. We're pulling ropes. We were the only kirtan party. We had the whole street to dance. It was an ISKCON Rath Yatra. In Puri, with the original Jagannath on the chariot. So this counselor system has become the most important part of our preaching, because if devotees are satisfied, well-educated, and well-trained, they become empowered by Krishna. We have so much philosophy, but to most people, they will be convinced that the philosophy works if they see that devotees are happy and stable. So the basic principle of this system was that as leaders, it is our duty to deal with each devotee in such a way that we can, according to our capacity, ensure that they will be enthused, inspired, and to continue their devotional service to Srila Prabhupada till the day they die. The immediate needs have to be addressed of the temple and of the congregation, but they should be secondary. What does this particular devotee need to carry on for the rest of his or her life? What is bhakti? Bhakti means relationships. The soul is the eternal part and parcel of Krishna. The soul has an eternal loving relationship with Krishna. Forgetful of that relationship, we are striving to find that pleasure through the allurements of Maya. Krishna consciousness is to dovetail the propensity everyone has for loving relationships toward Krishna. But you cannot separate Krishna from his devotees. And for those who are not very, very advanced, they can experience the love and the mercy of Krishna through devotees. Oftentimes, devotees think that the people that they are serving are very satisfied and very happy and very enlivened for Krishna consciousness. However, they're not. They feel lonely, uncared for. Nobody likes them, nobody appreciates them. Others, we just assume they understand the philosophy, but they don't. And when a crisis comes in life, if you don't understand the philosophy properly, you fall to pieces. So the idea is that senior devotees take responsibility to help each and every devotee to really understand what is Krishna conscious philosophy and really try to help them and guide them in their spiritual lives. There has been many divorces in our society. Most of the time it's because from the beginning of a marriage to the end, people never had a proper conception of what a grihastha's duties are. We know the duty of all ashrams is to surrender to Krishna. But how to practically sustain that spirit of surrender is very, very difficult. People who are senior, people who are experienced, people who are trained, if they can help and teach others, then they can help them to pass through so many obstacles and become first-class devotees. The essence of this endeavor is simply to give the devotees the care and the protection and the education they need so that they can remain enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness their whole lives. We were thinking that every single aspect of a devotee's lives should be addressed to try to help them. Because after all, service to a Vaishnava is most dear to Krishna. And we found these counselors, or Shiksha Gurus, to the degree they took responsibility, they were becoming immensely advanced and enthusiastic about devotional service. So they began to develop various committees to develop various types of services to the Vaishnava community. There's a children's committee. It's all run by the children. It started some years ago. Some young teenage girls, they were assigned to have once a month a children's program. And the children's program, mostly very, very small young children. And some of the children give like a 5 or 10 minute Srimad Bhagavatam class. They practice the whole month for this class they give. Usually each program there's about 6 or 7 children that come up and tell some story from the scriptures. There's puppet show. There is usually 2 dramas. And everything is done by the children. Puppets are made by children. The script for the dramas are made by children. The children lead the aarti that night. Only children play the instruments. There's sloka recitation. And it's all organized, managed, and done by them. It's in the temple, one Sunday a month after the Sunday program. And there's usually about 800 to 1,000 people that come to attend. The adults simply sit and listen submissively. And these little children, all month long, they're practicing their murdunga beats, and they're practicing their kartals, and they're practicing their slokas, and they're practicing the lines of their part in dramas. The idea is to give the children a real sense that they are an integral part of Srila Prabhupada's movement, and they're actually doing something very positive to spread Krishna consciousness. And this is all the congregational children. There's also a women's committee, where once every month, I believe, ladies come together, and three very, very senior Matajis conduct the meeting, and they discuss just the role of women in Krishna consciousness. They have a little discussion about some of the great ladies, like Kunti Devi or Janava Devi, what their qualities were and what they can learn from them. And they discuss many of the issues, problems, and so forth that they may be facing. There is a marriage bureau where three very senior Grihastha counselors, they really, really work hard in trying to help young ladies and young men to find a proper partner in marriage. They do not arrange, they simply facilitate. Because these people are successful Krishna conscious Grihasthas for many, many years, they have a lot of experience. We find without this, if a lady wants to get married, oftentimes they just have to go like in a hunting expedition for some man. And men do the same thing for ladies. It creates a very unholy atmosphere. So if any lady wishes to marry, or any man, they contact these people and they just, in every possible way, they help them to find the proper person amongst devotees. And they also give them very good guidance and direction on what really Grihastha life is and what they should be looking for. In fact, we're starting a manual for Grihasthas, and there will be a one-week seminar on the Grihastha ashram. If anyone approaches the marriage board, they have to take this before getting married. The marriage board, over the past few years, I think over 50 marriages they have facilitated. And very successful. Also, there's a committee to help people after they're married. It has been a problem in our movement at times. A brahmachari is serving the temple for 10, 12, 15 years and then decides, I need to be married. Then he doesn't know what to do. So the marriage bureau helps to find housing for them, helps to arrange some means by which they can have financial stability. The idea is we're one family and we have to help each other on every level. Brahmachari, until he gets financially stable, the Grihastha congregation often comes together and either buys an apartment for them or rents an apartment for them. But this is only for brahmacharis who really surrendered unconditionally for many years. This marriage board is a long subject. It's had a tremendous positive benefit to us. There's also a health committee to deal with the health of the devotees. And we preach in about 50 colleges on a weekly basis between Bombay and Pune. And many medical students have become devotees. And I think about 30 of them or so have gotten their specialty degrees. So the congregation themselves, we're thinking, we have all these doctors and they all have their private practices and they all want to preach. So let's just start our own hospital and preach. So they started the Bhakti Vedanta Hospital. It's a 175-bed hospital and a couple hundred devotees are employed there. Managers, directors, cooks, cleaners, drivers, doctors, nurses. So it's a wonderful facility where Grihasthas could live with devotees and make their income. And all food is prasad. 24 hours a day, Prabhupada's voice is singing and giving lectures in every room and hallway. And literally, dozens of people who were patients are now devotees. And also, the hospital takes care of all sick devotees. There's also a committee for the old. We're developing a special community for the retired, because we have quite a few retired people who are old, where they'll have nice service and they'll be protected and they'll have health care until they die. There is also a committee to help young people understand how they could best serve in the Grihastha Ashram, what profession, and also to help them get employment. So this is just a small beginning. But the idea is that the devotee should feel faith, that if they're a part of this society and they're honestly and earnestly practicing Krishna consciousness, they should have no fear about their future. They should feel that the love and the concern of the devotees will always take care of them. And during the meetings, they meet every 2 weeks, and there's classes on philosophy and Vaishnava etiquette and basic what Grihastha Ashram actually is. And we found that thousands and thousands of people are really, really strong and stable in Krishna consciousness simply because people are taking personal responsibility to help them. We have the same system in the Brahmachari Ashram also. Began the ashram with only a few. Now there's almost 70. Actually, between Bombay and Pune, there's over 100 Brahmacharis. And most of them are being trained to be preachers. So I don't have so much time. There's so much that could be said. But as I explained, I think you're already doing much more than this here. But if this information is of any help to you, then that will be my great fortune. The principle is, when we come together to really serve devotees in a very real and personal way, then unlimited ideas come of how we can better the lives of the Vaishnavas. What I briefly explained is the basic form that works, I will say miraculously, in Bombay. In another place, it may take another form. What I have seen in the Hare Krishna movement is whatever is prioritized is achieved. Devotees began book distribution by mimeographing, just very, very simple, 2 or 3 page Back to Godhead magazines that were like Xerox. And if somebody sold 10 of those in a day, it was a great celebration. But because book distribution was priority, Krishna empowered us. Tens and millions of first-class published books being distributed. When building temples is a priority, purchasing properties, the movement began in a little poverty-stricken storefront on 22nd Avenue in the Lower East Side. Now, beautiful, magnificent temples being built, wonderful castles with deities in it. When it's a priority to make money, we can make millions and millions and millions of dollars. When it's a priority to do nice deity worship, even in India, people feel we have the nicest deity worship in the country. Whatever we make a priority, Krishna empowers us to do. However, everything, every project is dependent on pure-hearted, inspired devotees. We can have a multi-million dollar temple, but if the devotees are fighting and unhappy, people will come and take pictures and leave. We could distribute millions and millions of books, which is what Prabhupada wanted. But if people come to our communities and our temples and they don't see people enthused and enlivened to live by the teachings of the books, it's very difficult for them to have faith. It's not that only new devotees should be doing these things. In many places in our society, if you want people to distribute books, if you want people to do a lot of service, you have to find the new devotees. Devotees should be more enthused, more surrendered every year. But we need a society that will support them, encourage them, and enthuse them. If we make this a priority to really educate, train, and care for devotees, then Krishna will empower us to have the most effulgent, incredible society of Vaishnavas. A few years ago at our temple in Bombay, because the brahmacharis and the grihastha congregation are so united and so intimately connected with each other and quite well cared for, we just said it's time for the December book marathon. We just gave one class, and people just immediately, because they're happy, they're inspired, they just came together. They distributed 60,000 hardback Gitas in 1 month. We had one brahmachari who was just sleeping on the floor with the other brahmacharis. But because he felt cared for and protected and trained nicely in Krishna consciousness, later on he got married and he's donated over $1 million to our temple. Because he has faith and trust. Not from a wealthy family, he was just a simple brahmachari. We don't know who's who. Every single devotee who comes to Prabhupada's door deserves the utmost care and attention. We shouldn't judge who's big devotee, who's small devotee. Anyone who comes to Srila Prabhupada, we are responsible to give them Prabhupada's mercy. If the devotees are strong, if the devotees are united, if the devotees love each other and trust each other, this movement will expand unlimitedly. Every project will expand beyond our expectations. Because the heart of Krishna consciousness is loving Krishna through serving his devotees, creating an atmosphere where devotees come together in great, great faith in one another to chant the holy name. Thank you very much. Please forgive me for speaking whatever I spoke. Is there any questions? Yes, Mataji.
You mentioned this verse from Shikshashtaka, and it says to chant in a humble state of mind. So what does it mean to chant in a humble state of mind?
It really means to identify yourself as the servant of the servant of the servant. Having a big position does not mean that you are to be served. Every position we have in Krishna consciousness is an opportunity to serve. And we should understand that we're completely dependent on the mercy of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Kaviraj Goswami says that I am crippled, and to walk this path of bhakti, I am utterly dependent on the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas. We should read the beautiful prayers of our acharyas. What is their humility? Considering oneself helpless and insignificant. Totally dependent on the mercy of Krishna and his devotees. And eager to serve. And the fact is, that is the reality. We are completely dependent on the mercy of Krishna and his devotees. To be proud of anything except the glory of Krishna and his devotees, to be proud of ourselves, is the greatest illusion. Krishna is the strength of the strong, the intelligence of the intelligence, the ability in man. Punar mushtaka bhava. Krishna can make you a lion, but if you become proud, he will again make you a mouse. And we have seen it happen. It is humility alone that attracts Krishna. Because humility is the very basis of devotion. Is there any other questions? Yes, Prabhu.
He's asking, who and on what basis, who chooses their counselors, and on what basis, and who are the counselors empowered by?
The counselors decide. Every once a month, all the counselors meet, along with the leaders of the Brahmachari Ashram. And many major, major decisions are made in the combination of, in this meeting, of the Brahmachari leaders and the counselors, who are the leaders of the congregation. then when a counselor has a counselee that he sees is very well qualified, very strict in his sadhana, very nicely understanding the philosophy, very good in behavior, and willing and able to take the responsibility to teach others, then that person is presented to the counselor board once a month to be given the position of assistant counselor. And after some time, if he does his service very nicely, he becomes counselor. So it is all decided amongst the grihasthas themselves and the brahmacharis together. And as far as choosing counselor, we're in Bombay, it's a big, big city. When you leave New Braj Dham and go to Budapest, does it seem like a crowded place? Budapest has 2 million people. Bombay has 15 million people.
Pretty low.
So it's a big city. And usually people choose counselor according to the geographical area, simply because it's convenient to go to meetings. Counselors have meetings with their counselees every 2 weeks. I already explained the format of the meeting. First they have kirtan, they have discussion on the scriptures, Srila Prabhupada's books, quite depth discussions in Prabhupada's books. Then they discuss Vaishnava etiquette, then the qualities of Vaishnavas, and then they discuss various questions and answers, problems people may be facing. Many of the counselors, they have exam every week to get people to study a lot, and then they have prasad. So oftentimes people choose a counselor that's close to their home. However, a devotee could choose whoever counselor they want. But then it's the counselor's right to accept or reject them. Hari Bol. Not really reject, but if the counselor already has too many, then he'll explain better you go to someone else like that. But we have one devotee, he's a young man. And as I said, the counselors for the grihasthas, it's a team of the husband and the wife together. The wife trains the women of the family and the husband trains the men of the family on a personal level, and they both conduct the meetings. And one such counselor, I think he has about 200 counselees. So he has about 7 or 8 assistant counselors working under him. And actually, guests come, and when they see the people in the temple have this type of facility for personal care and personal training in their spiritual lives, they become very attracted. People who just come a couple times to the temple, they say, we want to become counselees, we want to be trained in Krishna consciousness. And the counselors themselves, they go on retreats together. In fact, last week, all the 50 or so counselors, husbands, wives, families, they just went for a whole weekend just to hear and chant together. Because when leaders are united in loving relationships, then naturally the followers will develop loving relationships. And Srila Prabhupada really wanted us to empower people to be leaders. Devotees need to be trained, they need to be encouraged, they need to be appreciated. And not a single devotee should be neglected. Does that answer your question? Is there any other question? Yes?
Then a devotee approaches a counselor for advice because he has a problem. Then sometimes they are told that we are just mental and this isn't a real problem and you should just chant more. Are they taken seriously when they approach these counselors?
The counselors are responsible to understand the people that they're counseling. It is a fact that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, all our problems can be removed. However, very, very few devotees will continue chanting unless they're given proper association and proper guidance. Therefore, it is the counselor's service to the devotees to give them the proper direction, the proper encouragement, the proper vision, so that they can continue chanting Hare Krishna and simultaneously overcome their problems. If a devotee falls off a building and his skull is cracked, and he says, I need help, and you say, you just chant Hare Krishna, this is all mental. And believe me, this has happened probably hundreds of times. Examples similar to this. Devotees are sick, devotees have lost loved ones, and they're grieving, and you just say, you just chant Hare Krishna, this is all the mental platform. It's true, but it's our duty to help the devotee by give that devotee what that devotee needs to come above the mental platform. And Prabhupada did that. He was like a mother, a father, a friend, a guide. I thank you very, very much. Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.